Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY27 earnings conference call for QMS Medical Allied Services Limited. The management will be sharing the key operating and financial highlights for the quarter ended June 30th, 2026, followed by a question and answer session. Please note that some of the statements made in today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risk and uncertainties. Documents relating to the company's financial performance are available on the stock exchange and the company's website. Trust you have been able to go through the same. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mahesh Makhija, Chairman and Managing Director. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Mahesh Makhija, Chairman and Managing Director of QMS Medical Allied Services, and I'm delighted to welcome you all to the quarter one FY27 earnings conference call of QMS Medical Allied Services. Our financial results and investor presentation have been uploaded on the stock exchange as well as on our website, and I hope you had an opportunity to review them. Joining me on the call today is Mr. Mohit Tanmalkar. He's our Director of Compliance. It gives me immense pleasure to share our quarter one FY27 performance with you. The quarter marks a strong start to the new financial year and comes on the back of several important milestones of QMS. One of the key milestones was our successful migration from the FMA platform to the main board of NSE on June 18, 2026. This reflects the progress we have made over the years and reinforces our commitment to building a larger, stronger, and more diversified healthcare solution platform. Over the next few minutes, I'll take you through the industry landscape of our business performance and our financial results of Q1 FY27. India healthcare industry continues to offer a strong long-term growth opportunity supported by rising healthcare awareness, increasing healthcare spending, expanding access to healthcare, and the rapid adoption of digital health solutions. At the same time, the growing burden of chronic diseases and increasing treatment complexity are driving greater focus on continuous patient care, adherence, and engagement. Against this backdrop, the patient service programs or PSP ecosystem is gaining increasing importance. Pharmaceutical companies are increasingly moving beyond medicines towards more holistic, patient-centric care. PSPs typically focus on treatment, access, patient education, adherence, disease management, and ongoing patient engagements, particularly across chronic and specialty therapies. Indian pharmaceutical industry provides a large and expanding ecosystem for PSP. India is also a major global supplier of medicines, accounting around one-fifth of the global generic medicine supply. As pharmaceutical companies increasingly focus on improving patient access, adherence, and outcomes, we expect demand for our integrated and technology-enabled PSP platform to continue growing. We believe that the combination of both the on-ground execution, digital engagement, and data-driven patient support presents a meaningful long-term opportunity for QMS. Coming to our performance, I'm pleased to report that we have started FY27 on a strong note. Our consolidated revenues from the operations stood at rupees 56.9 crores, registering a 22% year-on-year growth. More importantly, our EBITDA grew faster than revenue, increasing 27% year-on-year to rupees 8.3 crores, with the EBITDA margin improving to 14.6% compared with 14.1% in Q1 FY26 and 13.3% in the Q4 FY26. PAT stood at around rupees 4 crores, growing 25% year-on-year. While the PAT margins have improved to 7%, the sequential performance is equally encouraging. The revenue increased by 28%, quarter-on-quarter EBITDA grew by 41%, and PAT more than doubled, increasing 110% over quarter four FY26. I believe these numbers are particularly important because they demonstrate that the investments we made during the FY26 in people, technology, infrastructure, and service capabilities are now beginning to translate into a stronger revenue growth and improved operation performance. As the business continues to build around two complementary pillars, products and services, Our product business continued to see a healthy traction during the quarter across our healthcare and wellness portfolio, including Q devices. We are strengthening our presence across multiple channels, including the pharmaceutical companies, hospitals, clinics, QMeds, our e-portal, e-Gramin, and our digital platforms. Our expanding distribution network and a broad product portfolio provide us with a strong foundation to scale this business further. We will continue our focus on expanding our own brand portfolio, strengthening our distribution network, and increasing our presence across our point of care and other healthcare segments. At the same time, our services business is emerging as an increasingly important growth engine for QMS. The business is being driven by deeper pharmaceutical partnerships, increasing adoption of patient support programs, and the growing scale of our healthcare camp operations. During our Q1 FY27, our PSP business, including our subsidy, Sarthi Healthcare, generated approximately rupees 17 crores of revenue. We currently hold a 76% stake in Sarthi Healthcare and are progressing towards acquiring the remaining stake, which we expect to complete by the end of Q2 FY27. This will further strengthen our capabilities in disease management and the patient support program, enabling us to address the patient journey in a more comprehensive manner. Today, our proprietary technology platform supports 100-plus programs and more than 1 million patients, providing real-time tracking, monitoring, analytics, and patient engagement capabilities. This combination of technology, healthcare expertise, and on-ground execution gives us the ability to manage patient programs at a larger scale. Our B2B healthcare camps also continue to scale during this quarter. We are very pleased to announce that we have conducted more than 11,497 B2B health camps in the Q1 FY27, demonstrating the depth of our field execution capabilities and the trust placed in us by our pharmaceutical partners. Importantly, we see PSPs and healthcare camps as complementary capabilities. Camps enable screening, awareness, and early diagnosis, while PSP draws us to engage with patients through treatment, initiation, counseling, adherence, and follow-up and disease management. Together, they allow QMS to participate across a much broader part of the patient journey. Looking forward, our strategy remains focused on three key areas. First, scaling the service business, particularly patient service programs, by deepening our relationships with pharmaceutical companies and expanding across different therapeutic areas. Second, expanding our product business led by Q devices, point of care solutions, and a broader distribution network while leveraging our platforms such as QMS Next and eGramming. Third, leveraging technology across our healthcare ecosystem to make our patient engagement and service deliveries more scalable, measurable, and data-driven. We believe these initiatives position QMS well to benefit from the structural shift towards the patient-centric and solution-driven healthcare. Overall, I believe Q1 FY27 represents an important start to the year for QMS. We have delivered a strong revenue growth, faster EBITDA growth, improved margins, and an healthy increase in profitability, while simultaneously continuing to strengthen the underlying capabilities of the business. More importantly, the quarter demonstrates that the investments made are beginning to yield results, while our product business grows to provide a strong foundation for the growth. Our ambition is to build QMS into a comprehensive healthcare solution platform, combining our medical products, patient engagement, technology, and nationwide execution capabilities. While growing PSP opportunities and expanding pharmaceutical company base, a strengthened services platform through Sarthi, and our established products and distribution franchise, we remain confident about the long-term growth opportunity ahead. I would like to thank our employees, customers, pharmaceutical partners, business associates, shareholders for their continued trust and support. We remain focused on discipline, execution, sustainable growth, and creating a long-term value for our stakeholders. Thank you, and I look forward to discussing this quarter with you. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use their handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one. We take the first question from the line of Parth Sodha from Trinetra Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
So am I audible?
Yep.
Good afternoon and thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is, like, Q Devices is expected to improve margins and expand the portfolio. So what was the Q device revenue in Q1 and what revenue contribution are you targeting for FY27?
See, Q Devices quarter one revenue was approximately 3 crores. Okay, last year, the entire financial year, we did 14 crores actually. Okay. And we're looking at a 10 to 15%, you know, contribution coming from Q Devices. We are including a lot of point of care products, which are going to be a part of our new portfolio, which will start in, we'll be putting this in the market by the quarter, third quarter, technically speaking.
So just to add to that also, Q Devices is a very important strategic initiative for us, as you can understand, because it basically gives help us opportunity to participate beyond pure distribution and gives us greater control on product selection, quality, supply chain while supporting our margins. So it will become, as it has been in the past, an important asset for us as far as the strategic initiative is concerned.
Okay, got it. And my second question is, like, Q1 had 11,497 cams and 13.7 crores revenue, implying much higher revenue per cam than FY26. How much of this improvement is due to higher value cams versus pricings or patient-linked billing?
From the finance team, just a correction, we are just uploading a revised file. The number of the revenue actually for B2B cams is 6.4 crores. Which has got misprinted as 13.68 crores. So that is just getting rectified, and I would want Mahesh Bhai to answer what's driving it.
See, the question of driving is, again, the more therapeutic segment areas that we are entering actually right now. That's more important. So the more deeper we get into an organization, the more number of areas. Now with the GLP-1 launch of GLP-1 also, so that has also increased the business model right now. So we're trying to look into more different areas within the organization, the different therapeutic segments, actually. That's what we are driving at.
And just to add to that, as you can understand, B2B camps continue to be very important at the entry point of the patient journey, because the early screening, the early diagnosis is something that is also driven by Government of India. So we are actually helping through the pharmaceutical companies, to the end care patients, to help diagnose the disease early so that they can be treated early, and helps to reduce the complications like diabetic retinopathy, etc. While we improve on our execution, because as you've seen that more than 11,500 camps, which is almost a 40% increase over the last quarter, we continue to be very positive to have greater penetration in B2B camps in this fiscal year.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much for the opportunity. That's all from my side.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Saket Saurabh from Sagri Capital. Please go ahead.
Hey, am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, so thanks for the opportunity. So, sir, if I look at the Q4 commentary, the expectation was that, you know, we had hired employees up front. So we were expecting some operating leverage coming from employee expenses. But instead, what we see is that employee expenses, whether sequentially, that is QOQ, has gone almost from, say, 5 odd crore to almost 11 crores now. So, from 5.7 crore has gone to 11.2 crores. And even on YOY basis, it is 3.5 crores. So instead of operating leverage, we are seeing much more increased expenses. So one, what explains that? Now, has the PSP, the semaglutide PSP, which was likely to kick off with semaglutide getting launched in last week of March or so has that not picked up pace yet? And what explains even more additional employee expenses. So that's point one. And second, most of the margin, while the margin has been largely flattish, but the most of the, I would say, dip in or say negative impact of employee expenses has been nullified by the increase in gross margin. So what is driving the gross margin? Is it driven from, say, low-cost inventory of products that we might be having or any price hike that we have, we might have taken in the, say, the product portfolio? And third was that, you know, we were expecting that because the services portfolio is likely to be much higher margin, around 20 or 25 odd percent. But even if I look at vis-a-vis YOY, the contribution of services has gone up, but the margin hasn't really followed suit. So, just thoughts on that, sir.
Hi, this is from the finance team. I'll answer your question about the employee cost. The employee cost has increased because of further hiring that we have for our PSPs, and that is reflecting, and that cost has been compensated by the higher revenue of our PSPs. So in certain PSPs we would hire contractual employees, but there are some long-term PSPs which require us to hire employees on our payroll. So it's not that our employee cost has increased without the increase in the service revenue. The contracts that were supposed to start have already started in quarter one, and basically it's those exact employees that are contributing to the revenue. So I hope that answers the question regarding the increase in employee cost. Can you also repeat your next question?
Yeah, so just again, first double clicking on the employee cost. So say for example, last time we had said that it was upfront hiring, so which led to 5.7 odd crores of expenses. So what was the order book of PSPs say in Q4 vis-a-vis say order book of PSPs in Q1? Because I'm assuming more hiring is the order book or say number of contracts or total contract value of PSPs might have gone up. So what is the say trend as far as PSP?
So our PSPs are typically cost plus contracts. So the employee cost plus the administration cost plus cost of other allied services are charged to the client, and we have a markup. And PSPs typically work on an annual contract basis. So we would have a yearly contract, and that would get renewed towards the end of the year for the next year. So I am not able to decipher how can I calculate an order book for this, but these are typically a year-long contracts, and we bill based on actuals plus a markup. And if you see the presentation, you see that our PSP revenue in Q1 is about 17 crores. It's actually 17.6 crores. And separately, our CAMP revenue is 6.4 crores. So you combine the two, that we have a 24-25 crores of service revenue in this quarter.
Okay. And is it safe to assume that it's 7, because these are annual contracts, so say expectation from PSP would be more like 17.6 into 4, which is around 70 odd crore. Is that the run rate that we can look for this year, or it might scale up? Is there a possibility of that?
It is based on the current contract signed, you are correct, but we are also under negotiations for additional contracts. So as and when that happens, this number might go up based on the outcomes. However, for now, You can consider that, and we've guided approximately 90 to 100 crores of service revenue visibility for this year.
Okay. I think what was guided was that 25% is the EBITDA for services. So does that hold true for PSPs also? Because if I'm not mistaken, most of these cost plus markup has 12 to 13% kind of markups.
Yeah.
So is it like we have much higher?
So we have a higher margin in CAMPs and a lower margin in PSPs. And that's how it plays. And the combined margins is what we estimate to be to the 20 to 25% range.
There are a lot of, you know, PSPs basically which starts from a CAMPs point of view. That the program is fitted in that way, so there are a lot of CAMPs which are taken into place and then the other factors also come in. So there is a combination basically of everything working on that actually. Okay, Mohit, you want to say something?
Yes, just to add just one point, in quarter four we also said that, you know, that part of the program has been rolled out. In quarter one, the other part has been rolled out and the few employees, which you see the increase in employee cost has been added. So more or less you will see overall in last two quarters, this has already been taken into account. As far as longevity is concerned, in terms of stickiness, we already have said in the past that the stickiness of these projects, as our finance team mentioned, is on a yearly basis. So we have typically yearly, maybe two or three yearly contracts that are there. So we will have sustainability for the contracts over the long term.
So this 11 odd crore employee expense, is that a fair stable run rate or do we see further acceleration, say with more order wins or say PSP contracts getting coming in? Is there possible?
We believe more or less it will be a stable run rate. Having said that, it might increase if we have new projects, as you can understand, depending on the intensiveness of the project, whether it is field driven or whether it is digital driven.
Or within the projects, the existing projects, if the companies want to scale it up more, okay, they believe that if they want to scale it up more, then there might be an increase on that.
Fair point, sir. And another question was that what explains the expansion in gross margins? You know, is it like low cost inventory or you have taken product price hikes? So what explains that GM increase?
The margin increase is driven by the shift of our revenue from the revenue contribution. A higher contribution has come in from services. So that is a driver for expansion of gross margins. Our margins in the product sector are more or less stable as they were. However, since if you see the contribution now, a higher contribution of our revenue comes from services, and which is our strategic target and we want to continue expanding that, that has driven the gross margins to be higher this quarter, and we expect that to that trend to continue for the whole year.
So if you see the quarter, if you see the quarter one last year versus quarter one this year, our services contribution to the total revenue has increased from 30% to 40%, and therefore the margins have increased as well.
Got it. So what's the now updated guidance for this year? For the total top line, it was around 220 odd crore, but we already are sitting at 57 odd crore. So, we are usually H2 heavy, if I'm not mistaken, based on the earlier interactions. So what's the updated top line guidance now for FY27?
We would want to maintain that guidance because we've just finished quarter one. We are in mid of quarter two. In our experience, the way pharma cycle goes, one out of the four quarters, for some purpose, for some reason or the other, from a contract or a PO's point of view, does get delayed. So we would want to be conservative and maintain that guidance. Maybe when we are closer to Q2, Q3 is when we would be tempted to revise the guidance. Now, but this is too early in the year to revise the guidance.
Okay, now thanks for the opportunity. I will fall back in the queue and best of luck for coming quarters.
Thank you.
Participants who wish to ask a question, please press star and one. We take the next question from the line of Nish Shah from Stellar AMC. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. And congratulations for good set of numbers. So my first question is regarding the PSP side. So you mentioned that a PSP revenue was around 17 to 18 odd crores. So how should we think about the growth trajectory of the PSP programs going forward? And what is the current pipeline? You mentioned that some new contracts that in the pipeline. If you could mention the amount in that would be useful.
Sure. So I think going by the current run rate, as I said earlier, that the quarter four, what we have signed in terms of new agreements of PSP is going to have its annual impact in this fiscal year at FY27. We believe that the overall impact, including the current contracts that we have, will lead us to about 90 to 95 crores in this year overall from the PSPs. And we believe that the additional PSPs that we were talking about will give us an additional 5 to 7 CR. So our net overall contribution to the PSP with operations revenue is, will be around 100 to 105 crores in FY27.
Okay, sir. And this includes Saarthi, correct?
Yes. This includes Saarthi, yes.
Okay, sir. So you also mentioned something on the stickiness and the renewal is within 1 year or two to three years contracts. So what percentage of revenue, what percentage of contracts gets renewed, like from the existing customer every year the contract gets renewed, and what is the visibility beyond the existing customers, any new customers in pipeline, how is it?
Yeah, so we believe generally there are three elements to the overall stickiness. One is that we have seen in last 4 to 5 years that our contract renewals are up to 60 to 70%. So we'll have a rollover sales of 60 to 70% on a year-on-year basis. Secondly, as Mr. Mahesh mentioned, that if the program increases scale in terms of number of people or services or can add to the revenue. And third is our pipeline that we keep talking about. And this pipeline is not something that will get, that will generate sales overnight. As you can understand that these are long-term projects, it requires a bit of a gestation period. But we believe between 3 to 6 months is generally a gestation period of any new project. So these are the three levers that we have for our PSP revenues between FY26, FY27 and moving forward on a year-on-year basis.
Okay, sir. Understood. And one more thing, let's say for the renewal contract, is there any provision for price hike, or let's say if a contract is signed for 2 to 3 years, if any uncertainty comes up, do we have a,
contingency plan?
Yeah, so basically on the price hike, renewal contracts for 2 to 3 years. Do we get some price hikes?
Yeah, so in terms of price hikes, we generally have 5 to 7 to 12% depending on the scale of the project. That price hike is already mentioned in the agreement on a year-on-year basis. Uncertainty is a part of the world. It's, we are all living in an uncertain world. So whether that contract will remain for 3 years, 5 years or 2 years, we are looking at the crystal ball, so that is not something that I will be able to tell you exactly. Having said that, the new project and the increase in the project and our longevity in the market, in the pharmaceutical and the PSP market, helps us to remain with those clients for a long period of time, as we have proven in the last few years. So I think these things help us to also mitigate and also see the future direction of a particular client or an organization, which may get impacted either by a product recall or by a price cut in BPCO by the government, which reduces the price, etc. The other thing which will help us to improve our leverage is, of course, as we mentioned earlier, is improving our services through our CAM services with innovation in product services as well as the new products to improve the early diagnosis. Put all these things together, it will help us to mitigate any of the contingency which might come in terms of any agreement getting written off from the client.
Just to add one point of the stickiness, the cost center that the pharma company looks at us is from point of view of a marketing. So the services, the PSPs, essentially help the pharma companies, I wouldn't say generate sales, but maintain the relationship and adherence to the particular medicine and the therapy. So it's not a cost that is the first target in a cost cut by a pharma company. However, as new drugs get launched and as they would want to penetrate the market further, this is something which helps them do that. And in our experience, these contracts, though based on industry practice, are year on year contracts. But unless there is a drastic change in the product profile, portfolio, or regulation, our experience shows that the pharma companies keep continuing renewing and expanding scopes of these programs.
Okay, sir. Understood. So lastly, on the what traction are you seeing, like what pharma companies are currently allocating their budgets between the traditional promotional activities like per cans or PSPs? And are we seeing any PSPs becoming more larger and recurring component of their spending?
So I think there are many companies, in fact, including Indian and multinational companies, who are allocating their budgets more and more to the PSP. As my colleague mentioned just now, that it is a way to get more time in the doctor's chamber, because there are not new innovative products that get launched every day, number one. Number two, that a new group of products that we were also discussing in Q4 and Q3 gets launched is GLP-1. This is a certain subset of the product category which requires PSP by default. So as we mentioned, we are running almost 4 to 5 PSP programs in the GLP-1 category. It becomes an integral part of the marketing campaign, patient access and patient adherence for them to launch the GLP-1. Another important parameter which must be kept in mind are the disease areas which are more difficult to treat, like hepatology, oncology, rheumatology, etc. These are patient programs which are very, very important for the overall quality of life of the patient, as well as making sure that the disease outcomes and the health outcomes of patients are better in times to come. So that's the reason why many of the companies are now looking at PSPs, not only from the market access and the patient outcomes point of view, but also to make sure that they create a differential in the market as far as doctors and stakeholders are concerned.
Okay, sir. So are you seeing any smaller companies getting into PSP, or the concentration is still among a large few customers only?
So I think when you look at a smaller company, I don't know what is the definition, if it is 100 crores, 200 crores, these are companies who are still trying to adapt themselves in the market. Their EBITDA margins or the marketing spend probably does not allow them, and they don't want them to be in that category as a market leader. So most of the programs that we are running currently are with top 20 or top 30 companies. Having said that, there are a lot of companies now which are medium-sized companies where we are getting into with our CAMs, and that is something that is helping them to penetrate with the doctors as a marketing campaign.
Okay, got it, sir. Thank you, sir, and all the best for future.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question, please press star and one. We take the next question from the line of Deep Doshi, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, thank you for this opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes.
Sir, could you please help us understand the revenue and profitability profile of Sarthi separately? Like, how much of the 10 crore in Q1 PSP revenue came from Sarthi versus QMS's existing PSP operations, and where do you see the biggest synergies between the two businesses?
So while we could separately share the numbers, and it would not be right to look at them individually, because the service portfolio of QMS Group as such is divided between Sarthi and QMS. So depending on the relationship a particular entity has and the capability and the registration that a particular entity has, we would have a contract signed with either of the entities. So looking at QMS's individual numbers or Sarthi Healthcare's individual numbers will not give a clarity on what is the performance, because the revenues are split between both the entities. We don't have that numbers. I'm not sure if I can share the numbers because we're not part of the investor presentation, but you could definitely work out the difference between the standalone and consolidated numbers to have a look at that. Over the last 3 years, we've more and more integrated operations of Sarthi with QMS. Our teams have been aligned, our synergies have been realized. So you could look at the total consolidated service revenue and profitability book to analyze what has been the service performance.
Okay, so moving on to the product business, the product business continues to be a larger portion of our revenue. So what are the key growth drivers for within products for FY 2027?
As I said in my introductory speech, Q devices is definitely going to be a growth driver as well as the point of care products which we are planning to come out with. That two sectors is going to be a great growth driver for us.
Okay. And to one of the earlier participants, you mentioned about the increase in the employee cost. Okay. So can you just guide us how would this number shape up as we progress into FY27?
So the numbers, the quarterly number that you see right now is as of today stable. There could be approximately 5 to 10% here and there, depending on our subsequent hirings and annual hikes. But apart from that, for FY27, this number looks to be reasonably settled now. Having said that, if we do win any new major contracts mid-year, which requires us to do further hirings, we will do that. But all of those hirings will be backed by a contract where we would be charging off these expenses at actuals plus a margin to our client. Only then we will be doing those hirings.
Fair enough. Just one last question from my side. The Q devices like appears to be an important part of the company strategy. So could you just give us some color on the current scale of Q devices, the number of products plus SKUs, and the company's expectation of the its contribution in revenue in the coming 2 to 3 years maybe?
See, last year we did around 14 odd crores for Q devices. A quarter one is approximately 3 odd crores. The number of products that we have introduced at this moment are at least from 17 odd products being introduced in Q devices at this moment. We plan to increase the number of more products under the banner of Q devices actually. And definitely out of the product segment that we sell, we are targeting in 3 years our revenue to be at least around 20-25% of our product revenue coming from Q devices.
And just to add, this will be driven by fresh and new technology-based launches that we have in pipeline for Q devices, where the products will be unique and that will help create a pull for these products. We've established a good name, and now is the time that we'll be able to use that goodwill to generate more sales.
So, thank you so much for your time, sir, and all the best for your time ahead.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question, please press star and one. We take the next question from the line of Saket Saurabh from Sagri Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the follow-up. So just one quick question. You know, we had guided for 18-odd% EBITDA margin for FY27. Now, with the kind of the way Q1 has shaped up and the employee expenses likely to remain, the run rate likely to remain, and the top line also, we are saying that would still be on say earlier guided terms. So, do we think that we can still meet the 18% EBITDA margin guidance for full year 27?
So if you look at the current numbers and if you look at the ramp up, I would want to continue to maintain the guidance and not change anything at least in quarter three. So the way the ramp up is planned and the way we are looking at our numbers and our projections right now, things are in place. We have seen a certain uptick from the earlier quarters. And we think that the uptick will continue, by the end of the year, the average would be higher. And now, whether it will be 18% or 17 or 16 or 20% by the time we reach quarter four, it will take us to enter quarter three to give you that exact number. But those numbers that were shared were based on certain projections, and those facts have not changed on ground. So that's where we land right now.
Got it. So currently, because I think we are only, I think the consolidation in our top line would be about 76% of Saathi, right?
No. So we consolidate all the numbers in total, all the revenue expenses in total. And while calculating EPS, a 24% of non-controlling interest is subtracted. So the numbers that you are seeing are A plus B numbers in whole. So whole of revenue of Saathi, EBITDA of Saathi, and profit before taxes is consolidated.
Okay, got it. And so within our TST initiative, do we also have, say, products that are currently in under patent, or these are mostly difficult to treat but genericized molecules?
No, so are you saying the products in terms of the devices, or what kind of products are you?
No, when I say TST, so they might have these molecules like that are still under patent. Say, for example, so there is weight loss drug that really has, right? It is under patent. So do we have
yes.
patented molecules? Sorry, my bad. I was talking about molecules rather than, yeah.
No problem. Yes, so you're right in terms of some of them we are. So GLP, the weight loss one, has actually lost patent. And that's the reason why there are a lot of Indian generic companies which have come in from, and this is mainly semaglutide, which is from Novo. There are, semaglutide generics which have come. So that's number one. Number two, there are a lot of other products which are patented in the field of super specialty, like oncology, as I mentioned earlier, virology, hepatology, etc. And we are running some of the patient programs and PSPs in that area. Whenever they are genericized, obviously a lot of other programs from other companies will come in. So I think it's a mix of both patented and non-patented. But you are right, in terms of the patented molecules, there are ones which are coming, which typically in a high specialty area where we run PSPs with these organizations as well.
Okay, thanks for the opportunity and best of
luck. Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
So thank you very much for all your questions, remarks, comments, etc. I hope we have been able to answer all the questions adequately. You are more than welcome, if there are any residual questions or follow-up questions, to email it to us. We'll be more than happy to come back to you. We've had, as Mr. Mahesh mentioned, a great quarter one. This is a new beginning for us for FY27. We hope that as we integrate Saathi completely in our organization in quarter two, we will be able to deliver the numbers as per the guidance in FY27. And we are very bullish with the future of the overall healthcare industry, not only running on PSPs, but also bettering the patient outcomes and market access. With this, I thank you very much for your participation, and we look forward to meeting you soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of QMS Medical Allied Services Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.